Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Home is where the heart is. So my question for you is, where is your heart living these days? Where has it taken residence? Where does it spend its time, and who is it living with? Now, we know where our heart should be living. We looked at that scripture last week, and that's in Psalm 90, verse 1, where the scripture says, Lord, through all the generations, you have been our home. You see, Moses wrote that, and he understood that God is our place of safety and security. He is the place where we find refuge and comfort, and where the family gathers and makes memories. But sometimes our hearts, they go astray. They have a bad habit of doing that. Sometimes our hearts start to make their homes in the wrong places and with the wrong people. But it rarely happens all at once or overnight. It actually is more like when couples start spending the night together at each other's homes. It's a gradual thing. Like first you leave your toothbrush there, right? And a few toiletries just in case. And then you start leaving clothes at their house, right? Maybe an overnight bag, you know, something to sleep in. And so that's there. And little by little, more of your stuff is at their house, and then before you know it, you got your key, and it's like, hey, why am I even gonna go home tonight? Why drive home? And then if I'm gonna come back the next day, your boo is there, your stuff is there, and there your heart is also. And I think that's what Jesus was trying to communicate in Matthew chapter 6, where he says this: Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This scripture teaches us that our hearts live where our treasures live. Jesus is saying, show me your treasure and I'll show you your heart. Show me the things that are most valuable to you, the things that you deem most important. And that is where your heart has made a home, because home is where the heart is. He also teaches us here that treasure can be both temporary and eternal. And we get to choose which one we will go after. Now, the temporary treasure can be things such as money, fame, and success, right? Possessions. Eternal treasure can be things like our relationship with God, the way we serve others, the generosity that we show, the love that we live out. David Guzik is one of my favorite scholars, and in his commentary, he says this. He says, to lay up for yourselves treasure on earth is also to doom yourself to a life of frustration and emptiness. Our material treasures will not pass from this life to the next, but the good that has been done for the kingdom of God through the use of our treasures lasts for eternity. And the work God does in us through faithful giving will last for eternity. So which treasure have you given your heart to, the temporary or the eternal? Back in 1992, there's a survey done, and people were asked how much money they would need to make a year in order to be able to purchase and achieve and experience the American dream. People that made $25,000 or less said that they would need somewhere around $54,000 a year to be able to experience the American dream. Now, people who made around $100,000 a year, who were that in that income bracket, they said that they would need $192,000 a year in order to experience the American dream. So what does that teach us? Even though this is back in the 1990s, I think it's still true that typically we think that we need to double our income in order to have the life we've always dreamed of. But here's the thing. The secret to happiness is not more. It is contentment. And what I fear the most and what I worry about the most is that there are some of us who have minimized God to a self-help strategy to help us get more. What do I mean by that? I mean that some of us have belittled God, the God Almighty, and put him on the same level as our favorite motivational speakers. To some, the Creator and King is nothing but a means to an end. The end? To store up for ourselves treasure that will be consumed, destroyed, or stolen. When in reality, God is both the means and the end, right? He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. And he is also the way, the truth, the life. He is the path. He is the journey. He is everything in between. He is all and in all and through all. That's what God is. Now, will God's way ultimately result in our good? Yes. Yes. Our good now and our good forever, for eternity. Even the hard things, the challenging things, even those things he promises that he can use for our good. That's what it talks about in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. But what's more important than our good, what's more important than our good is our God. God is our treasure. There's nothing more valuable. There's nothing more important, more necessary, more rewarding than God himself. I'm reminded of Psalm chapter 73, where the author here is really struggling with the things of this world, with the treasure that he sees people, the temporary treasure that he sees people enjoying. And it starts off like this in verse 1. He says, "Truly God is good to Israel, to those whose hearts are pure. But as for me, I almost lost my footing. My feet were slipping and I was almost gone, for I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. They seem to live such painless lives. Their bodies are so healthy and strong. They don't have troubles like other people. They're not plagued with problems like everyone else." And he goes on to talk about how he was trying to figure this thing out. Why is it that these folks seem to have the best life? They're living their best life and they're not even trying to do it God's way. And look at all the treasure that they are getting, right? And so he's struggling with that. And he even comes to the point to say, man, have I kept my heart pure for no reason? I don't know if you've ever felt like that before. Like, was this all in vain? The sacrifices that I have made, is it really worth it? Because it seems like these folks that are not following God really have it made. But by the end of it, he was able to come to his right mind. And he tells God this in verse 21. "Then I realized that my heart was bitter and I was all torn up inside. I was so foolish and ignorant. I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you. Yet I still belong to you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. Now, those who desert him will perish, for you destroy those who abandon you. But as for me, how good it is to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things you do." You see, he decided, he understood that God was the strength of his heart, that nothing was more important than being close to God himself. And the key to all this was to make God his shelter, his home, his dwelling place. Why? Because God is the thing his heart desires more than anything on this earth. Home is where the heart is. So I ask you again, where is your heart living these days? Where has it taken up residence? Who has it been living with? And where does it spend its time? Now, you can answer those questions by taking an honest inventory of what treasure you are storing up for yourself. And you can do that by looking at the things that you prioritize, the things you invest in, and the things that you talk about the most. Think about, what do you prioritize in your schedule? What comes first? Who comes first when there are a bunch of people and things wanting your attention? What do you choose first? Think about how you invest your time and your money, what you pour into, what seeds are you sowing, and what are you reaping? Because you can see what you're sowing by what you're reaping. We reap what we sow. And think about what you talk about the most. What comes out of your mouth? Because the Bible says that out of the overflow of the mouth, the heart, out of overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so even what you're praying about can tell you, that's talking to God. That can tell you what you're most consumed with. That can tell you what treasure you are pursuing the most. Now these things, looking at these things may give you a glimpse of where your heart is making its home, where it has taken residence. And I've thought about some things that us as Americans that we can struggle with the most. Treasure that we can go after, temporary things that will ultimately be consumed, destroyed, or stolen, and yet we go after these things. And we can go back to this concept of the American dream, and the first one is possessions. Our possessions, or pleasure, or success, or control. You see, those are the four things that came to mind, and the things that I can struggle with the most. Let's start with possessions. Here's the thing about possessions is this. The possessions that we own, they start to own us. And if that's a struggle for you, when your possessions and gaining material wealth has become the most important thing, the treasure that you're going after, I want to encourage you to do this. Be generous. Just like the rich young ruler, when Jesus told him, go sell everything that you have, and then you will have treasure in heaven. Give it to the poor. Be generous so that you can understand what true life really is all about. I read recently that the great Bill Russell, who's won 11 NBA record, 11 championship rings, right? One of the most decorated athletes of all time, has decided to sell a bunch of his possessions, just to auction them off. And what he wants to do is he wants to raise money for his foundation, for his nonprofit. He has a mentoring foundation, you see? And then he wants to give it towards social justice initiatives. And so he's choosing, you know, have all this stuff. What am I going to do with it? I'm coming to the end of my life. You know, I want to invest it in something that's going to outlive me. That's what storing treasures in heaven is all about. Maybe for you, it's not possessions. Maybe for you, it's pleasure. And what happens there is that the pursuit of pleasure starts to pursue us. That's right. We want more and more of it, and it's never enough. That's the definition of lust, constantly wanting what we cannot have. And that's one of the things I struggle with the most, wanting what I cannot have, the lust of the eyes, right? And we're constantly, as Americans, looking to feel good. I always want to feel good. I hate feeling bad. I don't want to be down, depressed. Who wants to be down and depressed? I want to feel good. I want to be happy. And we can pursue that. And ultimately, it starts to pursue us because it becomes the focus of our lives. So if pleasure has been the treasure that you've been pursuing, I want to encourage you to redirect it, right? And redirect the seeking of pleasure to the seeking of God, because Psalm 16 says that eternal pleasures are at God's right hand. You see, that he satisfies us with good things, right? And so we got to understand that true pleasure, eternal pleasure, is with God. And so let's redirect our attention and our focus to getting the pleasure that God provides for us. I don't know about you, but at the end of the day, when I spend time with God and I get that moment to just be with him in his presence, there's nothing better. The peace and the joy that I feel with him, being at home with him, nothing can even come close to them. So maybe it's not possessions, maybe it's not pleasure, maybe for you it's just success. And what happens is that our drive for success starts to drive us. It starts to control us. And you know, if this is your struggle, I want to challenge you with this. Redefine it. Redefine what success really is. I've had to go back and decide, what is success for me? What is success? What is it really all about? And at the end of the day, it's about making it to heaven and helping as many of my family and friends make it to heaven with me, because ultimately success is being with God for eternity and experiencing the pleasures and even the possessions, because Jesus says, I'm pleased to give you the kingdom. I want to give you everything that I have. So redefine what success means to you. And lastly, control. Some of us, we have a desire to control everything around us. And what happens is that desire for control starts to control us. It becomes the thing that we focus on the most, and we try to manipulate everything in our lives. We try to manipulate our spouse. We try to manipulate our jobs. We try to manipulate our children, and we try to control everything around us because we think we know best. If this is your struggle, I want to encourage you to give it away. Give up your control. Give it to God. Trust God that He knows best. And that even when you have no control, which really we don't, control is just a facade. It's not real. It's fake. There's very little things that we can control. Very few things we can control. But God controls it all. And if we have a relationship with Him, we can trust in Him. So what do we learn? We learn that once we're able to pinpoint the things that are making their home in our hearts, then what we need to do is sacrifice them to God. If there's anything that is not of God, that is not eternal, we need to give those things away, because as Jesus goes on to say, we cannot serve two masters. Now, what I'm grateful for is that Jesus gave up His life to store up treasure in heaven. You know what His treasure is? Us. It says it over and over again in the scriptures, how we are God's treasure. Now, that of course is in addition to His relationship with His Father, but He sacrificed His life so that He could be with His treasure for eternity, so that He can be with us for eternity. And so as we take communion at this time, let's think about that. Let's be grateful, and let's look to Jesus, who made the ultimate sacrifice so that He can store up treasure in heaven, that treasure being us. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for who you are. We love you, and we're so grateful for Jesus. Thank you for the sacrifices that He made to be with us for eternity. Thank you for the sacrifices you made, God, to be with us for eternity. Father, we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus right now as we take this cracker that represents His broken body and this juice that represents His blood that was shed for our sin. God, we are honored and humbled that you would call us your treasure, and we want you to be ours, God. We know there's nothing more important, nothing more amazing, nothing more incredible than a relationship with you. And so I pray that you will help us to just redirect our hearts and our focus, and help us to just to set our eyes on you, God, because you are everything that we need and that we will ever need. Father, we love you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.